You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you.
While Galway swells both sides of the stony Corrib, her macaronic voice echoes with car horn, horse hoof, and the tock-tock of harbour boats drunk with Spanish sailors. All the air is fish reeky where Nimmo's Pier points a long, lazy arm to Blackhead, and the suck of the sea pulls the eye to Salt Hill, soaked under April storms. Skirling origami swans decorate the Claddagh Basin, while Galway settles her nightshawl down, boats and birds safe at her breast, and her poets, all of her poets, are upfront about love.
You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Shauna Durham and Scott Winter.
He's Scott Winter.
And she's Shauna Durham. What'd you think of Nuala Nicra Hoare's poem, Shauna?
Well, it's a beautiful view into Ireland for someone who's never been there. But I do kind of wonder what a macaronic voice is.
But I really like the fish reeky and the sight of the sea. And this is our inaugural episode, and it's about America's fascination with Ireland and how that's kind of played out in literature in the winter 2011 issue of Prairie Schooner.
Scott sat down with Stephen Barrett, the senior editor who built this issue, to figure out why we Americans care so much about Ireland.
A lot of the work that I've done over the years has involved Irish Romanticism, and I've become very interested in recovering the work of lesser-known Irish writers from the early 19th century. But my wife is also from an Irish family, and so we've always been interested in the Irish culture, and they have deep ties to the old country. And it became clear to me that I had a one-year window to put together this issue while I was the interim editor, and it was the perfect opportunity, so we simply decided to go for it. It was an interesting project because usually when somebody does a special issue, they sort of go out and contact their friends and contacts in the field and say, okay, send us some stuff, what have you got, and they build around that. I went in a totally different direction and just simply did a general call for submissions and contacted writers' organizations in Ireland and basically got the word spread that way, and we got a representative sampling of the absolutely very best stuff from both emerging writers and some highly acclaimed senior writers.
It sounds like you have your own reasons why Ireland is fascinating to you, but America itself is pretty fascinated with Irish culture.
There's very few national cultures that have the kind of connection that Ireland does. Possibly Italy. There's a strong Italian-American community. But you go across this country, everybody knows about St. Patrick's Day. Everybody celebrates. Everybody is Irish at least once a year. But I discovered in doing background for this project that there's anywhere from 30 to 40 million Americans who consider themselves significantly connected to Ireland. So it seemed, again, that we're tying into a population and a readership here that really cares about this material. And nobody has really done this kind of an issue. What we ended up with is probably the best anthology of contemporary Irish writing that's out there anywhere.
And I think often people, aside from Chicago, don't think of a Midwest connection to Ireland. But Nebraska has a history with Ireland and Irish writers.
Absolutely. I discovered in doing research for this project that one of the first people we reviewed in the very first issue of Prairie Schooner way back 85 years ago, was an Irish writer who was making a name for himself. And then, of course, Oscar Wilde, when he did his American tour, came through Lincoln in the 1880s, and he spoke all around the place. Was a great celebrity. Everybody loved him.
As readers, what are we going to learn about Ireland that we probably didn't already know?
I think one thing we learn is that they have an absolute love of the language. The other thing that really comes out in both the poems and the stories, is a tremendous connection with the land, with the physical land itself. And I think that's something that will really resonate for Nebraska readers and Midwestern readers.
What is it about Prairie Schooner that would get all these Irish writers to be so interested in getting their stuff published in this issue?
Well, I think partly it's the attraction of my simply saying I wanted to do a special issue featuring contemporary Irish, and it's a chance for them to have access to an American market that they really don't have
You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Air Schooner is the biweekly podcast product of Prairie Schooner, reading that moves you. Find us at prairieschooner.unl.edu.
Shannon, Nulini Krower's short story, Peach, is prominent in this issue of the Prairie Schooner. It's right up front. It really packs a gut punch for a reader, doesn't it?
It does. I think everyone can relate to a story about a failed relationship.
Yeah, and it really gut punches you with that opening line, and we'll talk about that.
Scott was able to connect with Nula at her dining room desk, where she writes. Here's that interview.
From her home in the Midlands of Ireland, thanks a lot for joining us on Air Schooner, Nula.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about this story, Peach, and where it came from.
Sure. The story is about Dominic, who is a separated man who meets this woman, Maud Peach, and they have a relationship and things don't go very well. As to where it came from, the Irish poet Michael Longley once said, if I knew where poems came from, I'd go there. So it's a bit like that with me in short stories. I've absolutely no idea where they come from or where the characters spring from. Other than maybe with this story, Peach, I have a mild obsession with charting how relationships go awry or break down. So I would normally start with a first line. A first line kind of pops into my head at random, and I would have some vague feeling for a character. And I just try and push on from there, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, let's talk about that first line. I'm going to read it to you, though you probably know it by heart, so it's awkward for me to read it to you. But a pregnant woman was getting drunk in the back lounge. I could see her through the hatch from where I sat at the bar. She was drinking and crying, sitting on the red velveteen couch alone. So where did that line come from, and would you like to go to that place?
I suppose it's just the notion of these days that pregnant women are not allowed to drink at all, and, you know, they nearly have glasses of alcohol snatched out of their hands if they were seen. So the idea occurred to me of how bad it would be to see a pregnant woman getting drunk and crying on her own, and what she's crying about. Originally, I had the idea that the story was going to be about stillbirth, and then I changed it to surrogacy. So I kind of make it up as I go along. I kind of write to tell a story to myself, and so it will develop as I write it.
Okay. Well, you've talked a little bit about how you build stories, but you build stories. You're a novel writer. You're a poet. How do you know when an idea strikes you? How do you know where it's headed as far as what form it'll take? I mean, how does that decision happen? Like with Peach or with any other piece?
I get asked this question a lot because I work in, you know, three different forms. I still haven't really come up with a satisfying answer. It's to do with a feeling, really. It's like, I don't know, it's like I can see ahead of me how long something will be, and that then dictates whether the subject will be a poem or a story or a novel. Some characters will nag at me more as well, so they tend to be made into longer work. Having said that, I have written poems, stories, and novels about the same things, namely relationship breakdowns, fertility issues, visual art, which I'm very passionate about. So these are the things that haunt me, the things that occupy my mind, that I'm passionate about. So I suppose it's only natural for me to write about them in any way I can. So there's no kind of proper answer to that question. It's just I know when I start out whether this thing is poem, story, or novel material.
Okay. Nuala, you're a mother, and presumably I'm sure you serve many roles in life. And I notice that you're doing an incredible amount of readings, including your reading for a Prairie Schooner event at the Sheldon on February 10th, and you're also out in L.A., you're doing readings all over the place. So how do you make time to write? I mean, how do you remain disciplined as a writer, or isn't it really about discipline?
I think it is about discipline, because if you don't have discipline, you'll get nothing done. I'm lucky because I'm naturally very organized. I like being organized. Now, I only have 10 hours a week to write, really, while the youngest is in a creche and the boys are at school. And I really guard those hours very well. The rest of the time, if the children are occupied, I can get stuff done around the business of writing, like submitting things. I can't really write creatively if I'm constantly interrupted. So I keep my 10 hours as much as possible for my creative work. But I do think it's about discipline, because as well as that, like if I'm writing a novel, I will set myself a word count target, something very modest, like 500 words a day, so that I can see where, it usually takes me about a year to write a novel, so I can see where that will end and where I will be at a certain point. And I just find that helps me. It keeps me kind of motivated and coming back to the desk every day and continuing on.
Well, I hate to put people in this position where they have to speak for large groups of people or movements or anything, but can you tell us a little bit about contemporary Irish literature these days? I mean, other than to read great stuff, why is it important for the world to pay attention to what's happening in Irish literature, contemporary literature?
Well, I suppose we have such a history of literature here with Joyce and Beckett and Flann O'Brien and all of these people. We're a small island, but we are definitely a nation of readers. There are thousands of book clubs here. I think the thing about Ireland is Irish people love telling stories. They love to talk. And really, every time you go outside the door, you can potentially hear a new story, usually embellished, I would have to say. My father is a great oral storyteller, and I think my love of stories came from him as much as from the books that my mother fed me from a very young age. So literature is important in Ireland. It's rated, you know. People like to see, for example, an Irish writer get the Booker Prize, the Man Booker, like Anne Enright won it a few years ago, and Roddy Doyle was up for it. And the whole country is interested in this, you know.
What books by current Irish authors should our listenership be paying attention to or picking up?
One I enjoyed recently was Belinda McKeown's Solace. It's a new Irish novel. It's done very well. She's a young writer in her 30s. It's a father-son story, but it's also like a rural-urban story. It's set on a farm in County Longford. It's also set in Dublin. You know, really lovely writing. It moves at a very leisurely pace. Martin Malone is a very good writer. Sebastian Barry, Anne Enright. Those are a few that spring to mind.
Our contention over here in America is that there's a special bond or kind of relationship between Ireland and America, that Ireland's culture is very prominent and really disparately clear, unassimilated, and celebrated in this country. Well, how do you feel about that from your perspective, and how does Ireland view America and American culture or literature?
Yeah, I would say it is true. Irish people here in Ireland, and when they go abroad, they're resolutely regional, so they tend not to lose their accents when they go abroad. They tend to be still very connected to home. They join Irish groups when they go away. Not all Irish people, but many of them. You know, they go to Irish pubs. I think there's a version of Ireland in America, though, that's not very true to reality. It's something a little bit old-fashioned. You know, we don't all live in thatched cottages and stuff like that. Ireland is a very modern European country in many ways, but there's still a lot of rural beauty in it, if you know what I mean. We absolutely love America here. We were brought up on American television. We have a tendency to look west rather than east. Not our political thing, because we're tied into Europe. But, you know, when people emigrate in that, there's a huge always draw to America, to New York, particularly in Boston. As regards how we view American literature, again, I can't talk for everyone, but I love American literature. I really love your short fiction writers.
And what are you working on now? What can I see next from you?
I have a new short story collection coming out in May, and it's actually called Mother America. Some of the stories are set in America. It's a book basically about mothers and sons and different kind of mother and son relationship.
Fantastic. Thanks for spending time with us.
Not at all.
I'm in awe of how she guards her time and gets the writing done as a mom.
Yeah, we'll both have to go to a reading February 10th at the Sheldon Art Gallery on the campus of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
Listeners can find the unedited, full interview with Nulini Crowhar at prairieschooner.unl.edu. This has been the inaugural episode of Air Schooner. Please look for our second episode when we talk to poet Toy Derricotte and fiction writer Tim Gautreaux about the literature of work.
And maybe we can get them to tell us about their worst jobs, right?
I hope so. Thanks for listening to Air Schooner.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from Robert Fugley, Ted Wheeler, and Marion Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprawls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway and Jerry Renault in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of Prairie Schooner editor Kwame Dawes.